Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carry Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttis. Cole Pepper here at Jaguar Central, along with Vic Ketchum. Vic, are you...
It's something in my eye.
It's something in your eye. You're not crying. You're not...
Nope.
All right.
Making sure. Yeah, that's a good
one. The senior editor of Jaguars.com.
It's a good day to cry.
And the general manager, Gene Smith. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, Cole.
We have a lot to get to today, of course, coming off the game in Kansas City yesterday. And I thought, why not? Let's start with some positive news. Let's start with something good. It does appear that David Garrard is healed from the concussion, and he's got his test tomorrow. And once, if that goes well, and David said today that he felt pretty good, looks like he'll be ready to get back in there.
Well, we certainly hope so. I'm optimistic about it. David did feel very good today, and I know he still has to go through the process of taking the test again tomorrow, and we'll cross our fingers.
All right, well, let's go to the game. Obviously, another disappointing score, final result. What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, obviously a very disappointing road loss. You know, the one thing, the Tennessee Titans are sitting 5-2, and they're 3-0 on the road. You got to take your hat off to what formula they've used to do that. Well, we certainly struggled late in the game yesterday. I thought Todd Bowman was certainly a bright spot. A guy off 4 days of practice gave us a legitimate chance to win. I know he ended up with the two interceptions, the one that got picked off by Derek Johnson in return for a touchdown. But I'll tell you, I take my hat off to him because certainly he gave us every opportunity to do some things offensively to win the game.
I would think that most would say that he exceeded the expectations for a guy who was literally sitting on a tractor when you called him last week.
He was, and, you know, he had a long flight to get here. He got here late Tuesday night, and then certainly we got things squared away in the morning with the paperwork. He's out on the practice field, and, you know, he had a good feel for our offense. He certainly feels that he can play in the NFL. I think he showed that even at the age of 38, and our players have a lot of confidence in Todd, so as well as our coaching staff, and he displayed what he's capable of yesterday.
You won't keep four quarterbacks, will you?
Well, the plan is certainly to keep three for sure. We got to see how things go this week, so we'll be smart about it. Patrick did some good things last week. He's got starts in the league, so I feel like we're as good at quarterback that we can be at this point in the season with everything that has taken place thus far.
And considering where you are in the season now, one more game before you get to the midway point, the bye week, does it change your impression of how to stack the roster? And, you know, for a long time here in Jacksonville, it's been just two quarterbacks. Based on what's happened and how much is left in the season, does that change things?
It does some, because certainly when you get to a certain point in the season, there's not as many players available on the street. Certainly there's some guys in the practice squad you might be targeting around the league at some point now if you do have an injury. But if we're not pressed, I do think we'll keep at least three quarterbacks here with the health situation that we're currently in.
I want to talk about your defensive line a little bit. Obviously, Aaron Kampman has been a great acquisition. He continues to astound people with the recovery he's made. He had another big day yesterday. You can't have anything there but good feelings about having acquired him. So I want to talk about other guys. Terrence Knighton. Started out slow. Is he playing well now?
Yeah, I think he's playing winning football. I do think he's been one of the bright spots. I don't think he started the season off the way he would have liked to have, but he definitely gives us a dominant force inside.
He was pretty good yesterday?
Yes, he was.
Tyson Alualu, how's he coming along?
Well, he didn't practice much last week. He wore the knee brace. He was better after the game, which was a very good sign because we rotated. The guy who came in, Duzable, gave us some quality snaps yesterday. We actually had some play, in spite of the rushing yards against us, out of a couple guys that certainly should have translated to better run defense.
I know that new defensive line coach Joe Cullen has made Derek Harvey a focus of his effort. Where is that going? Yesterday it looked like he got turned on the 70-yard run. Is that right? Or am I missing it? How did he play yesterday?
Well, he didn't play certainly to the level of Aaron Campman. Aaron Campman played against their best offensive lineman the majority of the day, and he played good against the run and the pass. And like I said, Terrence did a good job inside. He'll probably tell you he's had some other games where he's played better, but he certainly wasn't a guy who didn't do some very good things yesterday. And then a couple guys coming in, Duzable and Larry Hart. Larry Hart had three of his best rushes of the season so far, but Derek Harvey did not play the level of those other guys.
Is Austin Lane at a point, because I know it's been a lot of nagging injuries with him, is he at a point where he can start getting some playing time and, if not push Derek Harvey, certainly relieve him of some of the playing time?
Well, I think what Joe's doing is he did rotate Mincy. Mincy had a couple good snaps in there, too, against the run. And Austin has done some good things in practice, and I do think that's one of the things that Joe is trying to do is to get Austin Lane game ready so that when he is up, he can give us quality snaps.
You know, I'm looking here because I want to talk big picture and use the Kansas City Chiefs as an example. We don't have to do it right away, but sometime in the show I'd like to do this. And I see the name Derek Johnson, who was their first-round pick in 2005, and for the first 2-3 years of his career, he was considered to be a bust. Am I correct? I mean, he was a disappointment. And now he looks like a star player. He certainly was yesterday, made a big play. Can Derek Harvey still do that? Is there any chance that he can develop into the player that he was to be when you drafted him, when the Jaguars drafted him, or is this becoming a lost cause?
Well, I think the jury's still out. He's 23 years old. I do think he is getting good coaching from Joe Cullen, and he certainly has a mentor in Aaron Campman. So he's got the best of both worlds. I hope he comes fast yet this year because we need him to. But Derek Johnson is a guy that you are right on, Vic. He struggled very early on, and once he were able to get some defensive linemen in front of him where he could just run to the ball and play clean, he started to become more of a factor, and that was evident yesterday.
All right, we'll talk more, because I know where Vic's going with this. We'll talk more about the development and use the Chiefs as an example as far as that's concerned here in just a bit. Visit Sportsmania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. A limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Texans game. Register for free at your closest Sportsmania in Jacksonville. And Jaguars flex packs are available. Select any three of the remaining home games. You can build your own three-game mini-season ticket. Flex pack seats start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your own flex pack today. Back with more of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Pass under center on first and 10. Slides one tight end in motion, takes the snap, back to throw. Has plenty of time in the pocket, now it's going to get hit, and Aaron Campman pulls him to the ground, back at the 34-yard line.
Fourth sack of the year by right defensive end Aaron Campman.
One of the big plays by Aaron Campman in yesterday's Jaguars game in Kansas City. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Mentioned earlier, David Garrard, if he passes the the post-concussion test, I guess it is, tomorrow. He'll be back in there. Bad news for Evan Britton. Looks like he's going to need surgery, torn labrum. Britton said he injured it earlier in the game. He had to pop the shoulder back in place. He did so, went back in, then again on a block, it popped back out, and they couldn't get it back in for several minutes. So that's usually, according to some amateur web research, typically a torn labrum can be talking about a 4 to 6 month kind of situation in terms of getting rehab from that if he has surgery. And then Todd Bowman, on the second interception, got his hand caught up in a jersey or something, and I think it's a ring finger on his throwing hand, and so he's dealing with that. And, of course, we'll get the injury update and the practice update a little bit later on in the week. Reminder to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. All right, Vic, you were making the point about building a team and how long it can take and so forth, and Kansas City, who many would say is the surprise team in the AFC this year, maybe in the entire NFL to be where they are. People say, how do they do this overnight?
Well, the question I got to ask Vic today was, what did the Chiefs do in the offseason to affect this turnaround? And I said, well, you know, Thomas Jones was a nice acquisition. And I know right away everyone's going to say, well, Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. Don't go there, folks. Because Romeo Crennel was fired in Cleveland, and Charlie Weiss was fired in Notre Dame. And very simply, those guys are two more inventions of Tom Brady. All right? Those are just two more creations of Tom Brady. So that's my opinion. I got that out front. What I found out in looking at the Kansas City Chiefs drafts, what I realized was very, very quickly, and they do a wonderful job in their media guide of displaying their drafts and the players who became starters out of it, is that this didn't happen in one offseason. That they're basically in year six of a rebuilding project that began in 2005 with the pick, Derek Johnson. They got him and the punter, Colquitt, in 2005. 2006, they had a blockbuster draft.
By the way, when was Pioli's first draft?
2008, Gene? 2008 or not?
He said two drafts.
Yeah, so this is... This
no,
is,
2009 then was his first.
So this is...
Okay,
well,
so he's same as you.
Right.
Okay. 2006, they had a blockbuster. Tom Bahaly, Bernard Pollard, Brody Croyle, Jared Page. These guys at some point all became starters, all played. Although Croyle obviously was a replacement quarterback. 2007, Dwayne Bowe, Turk McBride, Tank Tyler. 2008, and this is the one that really, really got it rolling. Glenn Dorsey, who didn't play well early. He's playing well this year for the first time. Glenn Dorsey, Brandon Albert, that's your left tackle who's a star player. Brandon Flowers, Jamal Charles, and Brandon Carr. There's five starters from the 08 draft. 09, Tyson Jackson is that was a bad pick. He's not a third pick of the draft type of player. So they kind of wear the hair shirt on that one. But they got Matt Castle for trading their second-round pick. Matt Castle and, by the way, Mike Vrabel. So why did it all happen this year? And I'll tell you why. They hit what I call the saturation point. They had a blockbuster draft this year that resulted in Eric Berry, Dexter McCluster, Javier Arenas, and Tony Mowacki. I mean, these are all contributing players. They needed four guys, I guess, to get themselves over the top. In other words, it's not because of those four guys only. This is a project that is 6 years in the making here, and now they've hit this saturation point where they are coming into their prime years with these players, and they're winning football games. Your thoughts on what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's valid. The 2008 draft in particular. I would say this. Had we done things better over the last number of years in the draft, we would not have set ourselves back as far. And certainly I was a part of that process. I don't remove myself from it. I've certainly learned a lot from it. I didn't have the final say at that particular time. Did I have an opinion? I certainly did. But I can only look forward. I can't look back, and hopefully I've learned from some of the things that we did not do so well. I feel like we do have the right profile of player and person to add to this football team if we continue to draft well to compete at the highest level.
Well, I'll finish this by saying, making this comment. In every one of these kind of worst to first scenarios, and the Chiefs are first, and were they not worst last year in that division? No, Oakland was.
Yeah.
Okay, so they went from third to first currently, and they may win that division because it looks like the Chargers have missed their turn.
Yep.
But in every one of these cases, Atlanta a couple years ago.
Yeah, just look at the NFC South any year, right?
In all of these cases, if you look back, what you'll see is they were accumulating talent while they were down. The record was bad, but the haul of talent continued. You just hit a point where it all kicks in, and that's what's happening with the Chiefs. They've reached a point where it's all kicking in. But for a lot of years, they were a harshly criticized team, and their drafts were harshly criticized. They have patience, and Derek Johnson is the poster child for that patience.
And in some regard, you're talking about riding the tide of what the league wants, how the league wants things to be set up, right? That's why I have the draft order the way it is.
In my opinion, there's only one way for teams such as Kansas City and Jacksonville, which is to say small market teams that are not deep pocket teams, that are going to be low in the revenue standings, that are going to have blackout issues from time to time. There's only one way for those teams to build a winner and not be a snowman, not melt during the winter, to stay competitive. And that's the economic way. And the economic way is through the draft.
Well, I think you're right, Vic. And that's certainly my philosophy here. And in saying that, the smaller market, you got to make fewer mistakes.
Absolutely.
So I think from our standpoint, you got to stay with the base hit approach. It's probably not as sexy to some people, but if you try to hit home runs, you strike out a lot. We're going to try to keep people on base and bringing runners in. And if we do that through the draft, I feel very confident we'll be able to sustain success.
You know, one more thing, Cole. What Gene just said about and don't make mistakes, it reminds me of years ago before there was a salary cap. And the Redskins were, hotsy-totsy. I mean, they were a dominant team in the league, and Bobby Bethard was the GM, and Joe Gibbs was their soon-to-be Hall of Fame coach. And Bobby Bethard, he made a lot of great picks, and he made a lot of stinkers. Desmond Howard, mm-hmm. and the quarterback from Tennessee.
Heath Shuler.
And the wide receiver, Michael Westbrook from Colorado. I mean, he had big-time misses, but you know why? He was able to get away with it because Jack Kent Cook bought out his mistakes. Jack Kent Cook threw money at his mistakes, and they were able to, they did it with numbers. They did it with money and sheer numbers of acquisition. You can't do that here. You can't do that in Kansas City. You've got to make sure there are no misses.
Yeah. And that's a great observation in terms of the difference between a large market and small market. People say, well, there's a revenue sharing, everybody's dealing in the same, which is not
that's minor stuff.
Yeah, and it's about what can you do after the fact once you realize how things have gone. Well, you can, of course, always interact with the show on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars and look for the Jaguars Monday post. And got a long list of folks who have chimed in here. Want to get a couple of these thoughts in from some of the listeners. Gray says it looked like Don Carey got caught out of position a couple of times. Is this because of a new role at safety or maybe something else?
Well, I think it's the new role at safety. In the first half, he did look a little out of sorts at times. He settled down the second half and actually made a few plays. We're going to have some growing pains with him. He certainly has a skill set to develop and a will to do so. So hopefully he'll come fast, and then certainly Courtney Green, the other safety, he did a good job for the most part throughout the game. He was a tempo setter in the run game.
And people have talked about, and in fact this is something Aaron Kampman referred to today, is the stability, continuity on the defensive side of the football. Those guys, can you go forward with them at those positions, at those two safety spots?
I feel like we can. They have to make progress. There's no question, because you have to continue to look for players who are improving, so that will enable our team to improve. As long as they do that, you do want to stay with some young players that you can develop continuity with, especially on the back end of your defense.
One more comment here from a Facebook listener talking about the defensive backfield. Ben asking about Rasheen Mathis and some of the struggles he's had. It's tough for folks generally if you don't know what the defense needs to be and you watch on TV and you don't always see the full picture about, was it a zone situation? Did he fall? What's going on with Rasheen this year?
Well, I think it's been really the whole secondary in some respects. Maybe he's trying to do too much. Has he played the level of what he has played to in the past? I would like to think he would tell you no, he could play a lot better. And you know, it's not just one player. It's a number of players, a number of different things. It's a team sport, and I think he's got a lot better football yet to play.
All right, we'll have more comments. You can, again, go on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars and follow in on that comment post, and we'll hear more from the general manager, Gene Smith, as we continue on. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks for details. Go to Jaguars.com. And Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating car care, Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House, the official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
All the gaps are filled. Bauman hit as he throws, and he's launching this one for Drew, who's got it for a Jacksonville touchdown! Maurice Drew caught it, and the Jaguars take the lead.
What a throw.
Beautiful toss.
By Todd Bauman. For a while there, looked like he was writing the Rudy story or something like that, coming out of the the fields of Minnesota and looking very good early on. The highlight from one of the highlights from yesterday's Jaguars Chiefs game. You can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Welcome back here, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton. Reminder, you can join the conversation via Facebook at Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And, Vic, you look like you are in the starting blocks ready to go.
Yeah. I forget what I was going to go.
Say, get back in the blocks.
I was listening to you, but I do have something on my mind.
Let's talk about Bauman just for a quick moment here, Gene. The going in, I think a lot of folks expected that it would be a game that would be one of those grinded out kind of games and try to, you know, take all the time off the play clock and everything else, and it didn't work out that way early on. But, boy, Todd Bauman's performance, you mentioned earlier, a guy who hadn't had a lot of chances to play, but for a guy who's 38, has been coaching high school football, he really looks like he knows where to go with the football.
He does. He has a lot of moxie to him. And like I said, the players have a belief in Todd, because for the periods of time that he's been a Jaguar, he has certainly exuded a lot of confidence, and I know he thinks he can play, and that's important at that position.
Well, here's what I was thinking about, Cole and Gene. I look at your remaining schedule, Gene, and there is not a team on it that I can say point to and say that's a win. You know, some people were pointing to Cleveland. Ask New Orleans about Cleveland. Some people were pointing to Oakland. Ask Denver about Oakland. So I'm looking at the schedule, and, you know, this thing is starting to look kind of daunting. I mean, what are your concerns at this point? You know, I'm personally worried that if this thing turns south and stays there, we've got games, home games on this schedule that we cannot afford to have blacked out, because it'll go to perception. And if the perception gets bad nationally, we know what kind of pain it causes this franchise. And, you know, I'd like your thoughts on this, on how critical it is to turn this thing around from where you sit.
Well, it's important, no question. Our focus is on the Dallas Cowboys, a team that's had some struggles this year but is a talented football team. Our schedule doesn't get any easier. We got to take it one week at a time. And I think the number one thing that we got to evaluate down the stretch is the team improving. I mean, that's the number one thing. Sometimes when you're not winning, there's improvement on your football team that may not be as evident to people watching the game versus people studying the game.
Okay, here comes my $64,000 question. This is an issue with me. What you just said, the big thing is the team improving. Bingo. I'm right. I'm absolutely agree with you 100%. I want to know, why did you guys, when I say you guys, I mean the Jaguars organization, why did you allow the offseason expectations to overheat? The goal to win the division, the goal to, it wasn't realistic, was it? I mean, am I right in saying this is a team in rebuilding? This is a team that needed to just stress the importance of improvement, identify players, improve the roster, find more starters. See, what I'm concerned about right now is you create this expectation, this goal of win the division, and if we hit midseason here and these guys get depressed, it looks like they're not going to win the division, they may shut it down. I mean, that's my concern. I mean, did the organization overheat on the expectations?
Well, I don't know if we overheated on it. I think you should have an expectation going into every season, one that it is to compete to make the playoffs every single year. I mean, I don't think that's unrealistic.
Was it realistic for this team
to say we should have an opportunity to compete to win our division? I don't think that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. I don't have a crystal ball as to how the season's going to go with injuries or how we're going to play or how we're going to match up necessarily with every team. But I would like to think that going into the 2010 season, you wanted to take a step from the 2009 season because this is a better roster. And you certainly want to have hope and certainly set expectations for what this team can do. And I don't think it's unrealistic to say you want to compete for the division, you want to compete to make the playoffs. I don't. That's something that we have to start doing around here. We have to start to expect more as to what we can accomplish as a football team. And we're going to have our struggles. And like I said, I think the big thing is the team improving in spite of some losses? And I think that's the thing to really evaluate down the stretch.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate it. My concern is that we're seven games into this, and today was a low morale day. Today was a feel-bad day. And I just don't know that a young football team in the midst of rebuilding should have a feel-bad day at midseason. That's my concern.
That's life in the NFL.
You're probably right.
Again, you can join the conversation, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And kind of along the same line, Doug is asking about a longer-term view. What's the organization planning on doing or changing as a whole before next season starts? You've got, and this is a long-term question, but we've talked, there's only so much you can do during the season, personnel-wise and other things. When do you start putting that into place? When do you start building your long-term or your intermediate-term plan?
Well, you just certainly have a plan in place, and then you work the plan. You got to stay strong and stay the course to what your beliefs are. Certainly, as you go through the season again, you evaluate what this team needs. I think some of them are fairly obvious. I do think at the end of the year, just like I've done since I've been in this position, we have a postseason roster evaluation. And we try to identify the direction that we need to go in our out-of-season process of acquiring players. And that'll be no different this year.
Let me see if I can make that answer a little more specific, answer to that question. You do your pro personnel board for free agency in December, right?
Well, we work on the potential pro free agents throughout the year.
Is December not the time when you sort of arrange that board and get an idea of who the targets might be or who the what the rankings
no,
are?
No, we know who the guys are when the season starts, who we may be, you know, have interest in. We're certainly going to evaluate them throughout the fall. We work on our board basically after the season. Our emphasis, number one, is on the draft here, and number two, on pro free agency.
Okay. When do you do your college draft board?
Before the combine in February.
Okay, so sometime in February, you'll put the finishing touches to that. Is there a point at which you start assembling that, or are you doing it now?
We do it throughout the year, but in terms of putting the Jaguar grade, per se, on it, that takes place in February.
By the way, how's the college quarterback crop look this year? This is supposed to be a good year. This is supposed to be a really deep crop. Does it still look as deep as it did, or are some guys falling down a little bit?
Well, I mean, numbers-wise, it's a good group, and there'll be a number of eventual starters out of this group. Some of the guys, for different reasons, haven't played probably as well as maybe the preseason people had stated they may, but it has to do with different reasons, sometimes supporting cast, sometimes injuries. I think you just got to let the process work with the quarterbacks and all the players coming out in the draft this year.
And I think Vic and I both as draft nicks or whatever you want to call it, people who like to follow the college game and see how it translates to the NFL, have both been watching with some intent to see how the quarterbacks play this year. And I don't know if you've watched any of the Washington games, but I've seen Stanford.
Yeah, Locker's really fallen off. It's a mystery.
Right, and Ponder's had the shoulder injury,
right.
And Mallett's had some up-and-down games, and you know, you start to, does the guy at TCU comer, you know, is a little bit smaller, but how does he fit into things? And it's an intriguing quarterback crop anyway, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurant. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton, right after this timeout, right here on the show.
He sets up Mercedes Lewis in the wing outside Eugene Monroe. Barks out the signals. There's a three-man rush. Good time. Slings the ball. He's got a man. Touchdown, Mike Sims-Walker. And the Jaguars come roaring right back down the field, and it's 21-19.
Another one of Todd Bauman's touchdown passes. He had not thrown two touchdown passes since 2001 in a game.
Mm-hmm.
The Fountain of Youth for a while there in Kansas City, found by Todd Bauman. Now, welcome to Teal Town, 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game. Check out Teal Town with live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission is free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. Of course, got a ways to wait till the next home game with a road game in Dallas this weekend, and then followed by a bye week. Let's talk quickly about Dallas. They'll be playing tonight against the New York Giants. We'll have a chance to take a look at the Cowboys. Talk about Jeff Vick was talking about expectations, and that was a team that the expectation was a Super Bowl, and they're at the other end of the spectrum now.
Yeah, expectations are dangerous. I mean, ask the Cowboys. I mean, look what it's done to them.
No question. They're a team, though, that is a very talented team. They're a win-now team. I know people talked a lot about them. He talked about Green Bay as two of the so-called Super Bowl caliber type teams.
Minnesota, again, too. Don't forget Minnesota.
Well, yeah. They still are a good football team, and there's a couple other teams that certainly feel that they are, too. I mean, Tennessee sitting there 5-2. You look at our division, again, arguably, if not the strongest, one of the strongest divisions in football. And so there's a number of teams right now that feel that they could maybe make a run at it, but I think at the beginning of the season, most people were talking Dallas, Green Bay, and then certainly, you know, people still thought the Colts may have something left, the Baltimore Ravens, certainly the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's a number of teams that have sustained what people thought early on, and the Dallas Cowboys have kind of faltered a bit.
This may not be a fair question, but from what you've seen, who's the best team in the league right now?
Well, I haven't seen every team in the NFL. I feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers have certainly positioned themselves well for the games that they won without Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. and they do have a good defense. I don't know. There's a number of teams, if they stay healthy, will have a chance to be in the hunt at the end of the year.
And, Vic, you talk about expectations. Did you see Raheem Morris's comments down in Tampa?
Yeah, it's a little different situation. Go ahead.
This is a team that obviously the expectations were not particularly
really
high.
Low.
And now here they are. He said, we're the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, okay. Hey, they're, you know, he's trying to sell some tickets and curry favor, popularity, et cetera. So I think he may have hurt himself with that comment, but they're flying so high right now. I think the bigger lesson there is that they came in so far under the radar, they were subterranean. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were looking at attendances of 45,000-46,000 per game through the year. They were talking about, you know, they were hearkening back memories of the 76 Bucks,
yeah, right.
That kind of stuff. Now, all of a sudden, they're patting themselves on the back. Hey, watch it. You'll break your arm.
And that is a surprise. We saw them in the preseason, and if you asked me in the preseason, was this a team that was going to win their division? You said, well,
yeah, you know, and you have to look at their schedule too. No, I mean they got whacked at home by the Steelers, really roughed up by Charlie Batch. So easy, boys, easy. Yeah.
Still, they've gotten some things headed in the right direction. Now, a couple more Facebook comments here. Jill says, "I think the Jaguars are a far better team than they've shown. What can be done to wake things up?"
Well, I'd like to get a win in Dallas. It'd be everything that we need going into the bye week. But there's just some things, I think, fundamentally, and Jack talked about it, especially on the defensive side, that we just need to be doing better. It's not all about scheme. It's about the basic fundamentals of getting off blocks and tackling. And, you know, for us, I think the bye week coming up, here in another week, it will be just what we need.
And sometimes you see that because of injuries, but maybe as a mental break, is that a chance to kind of regroup and work on some fundamental things? I keep hearing fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals.
I think going back to some of the things that you're emphasizing more so in training camp, we got to get back to doing the little things well.
How about Garrard coming back from a concussion? No problems there, right? I mean, he should be fine.
Like I said, they were very optimistic today in talking with David, but he has to pass the test tomorrow, and I feel confident you know, with the rest that he got last week and how our staff feels and how David feels, that things should work out well, and Trent is better. So the quarterback situation is a lot different than where it was a week ago.
Bauman's finger, the injury he sustained, the ring finger on his passing hand, his right hand, would not allow him to play this week, right? So, I mean, this isn't a case of Garrard or Bauman. I mean, he couldn't play, right?
Well, I mean, Todd will be able to play, Trent will be able to play, and I feel confident David will be able to play.
Plenty of choices as a quarterback anyway. All right, Gene, thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming in here on a Monday night. Vic, thank you. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show at 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton has the head coach. And then on Wednesday, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian, Vic, and Jeff Loggin will be back in to talk about the Jaguars and the Cowboys coming up on Sunday. Thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguars Central.